What's up, everybody? It's Pastor James, and welcome back to our midweek Bible study. It's once again that time, and today we are finishing up chapter 8 as Solomon continues to write this chapter as if wisdom is writing this herself. And I put herself in quotation marks because Solomon always refers to wisdom with a feminine title. So she has a message for all of us. She's visible, she's available, and is calling out to anyone that would accept her and build their life on her. So read with me as Solomon continues to urge his sons to listen to wisdom. Proverbs 8, verses 17 through 21. Let's read this together. I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness, in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. All right, so these five verses are a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel preacher's dream. And while we read this, I do want to remind us today that the book of Proverbs is a book of principles, not necessarily a concrete book of promises. And so there are promises that are contained in these passages, but at the same time, you know, we have to remind ourselves these are principles. We have to be very careful that we're not basing our faith on blessings rather than basing our faith in the Lord. And really just how he chooses to bless us as individuals, because that can look very differently from one person to the other. But what we are encouraging others to base their faith on is believe in the Lord, trust in him, trust in these principles, and know that your life will be blessed in many different ways if you live according to these teachings. Now, and we believe that the Lord is communicating this, these principles through Solomon as he's writing this passage to his sons, which we're getting to read today. So first we see that wisdom loves everyone who loves her. And there are many, many benefits of wisdom. Wisdom will love everyone. And I think that we can go into this passage with that kind of as a promise that wisdom does love us, that wisdom is a characteristic of God. And if we love her, she'll love us. And this is, I think this is very fair to say that this is a promise that anyone who searches for wisdom will find her. And this has been communicated multiple times already in these eight chapters that we've covered. And the Epistle of James also communicates that if we lack wisdom, that all we have to do is ask God, who is generous, and he will give it to us. So wisdom is available. Wisdom is there for anyone who will listen. And wisdom will love everyone who loves her. Now, as far as the other four verses go, I think it's really important that we determine what wealth, riches, and honor really are. What are treasures in the eyes of God? And we have been told multiple times that wisdom is better than gold, and that her gifts and wages are better than silver or the finest gold. So obviously God has something for us that extends beyond the material blessings of this world. Like even today, thousands of years later, we still base wealth off of the understanding of what gold and silver are worth. And in verse 21, she says that those who love her will inherit wealth and she will fill their treasuries. But what kind of wealth and treasuries is wisdom speaking of? What is Solomon talking about in this moment? And the truth is that when we read scripture, we have to understand that the spiritual is always the focal point of the topic at hand. Whether it specifies that or not, you have to understand that when you're reading God's word, the spiritual things are the important focal point of what's going on. It's by far the most valuable thing that is being discussed in any passage of scripture. And we may want God to bless us with things of the world, but God may have better blessings than that for us. And we need to remind ourselves of that as we're reading passages like this, because it's talking about silver and gold. And silver and gold sounds very good to all of us who want silver and gold, because I would like to have a truckload of silver and gold. If I could get it for free and someone wanted to give it to me, I would gladly accept a truckload of silver and gold. But Believing in God is also believing that He may have better blessings for us than silver and gold. And so you have to think, well, what are those? And so just right off the top of my head, you got to think about what Christ offers through salvation. You have peace of mind. You have the freedom from guilt. You have the experience of love and companionship with your God, the blessing of children, the freedom from burdens and responsibilities that extreme wealth can bring, being responsible for leading others to Christ. Like, these are things that we may not necessarily wake up as young kids and say, ooh, that's what I want in life, that's what I want to experience. But these are also wonderful blessings that a lot of people will never get to experience in life. Many people who are blessed with physical treasures now carry heavy burdens because it is an exhausting endeavor to be responsible and accountable for so much and possibly so many people. What do you do with that? You think about some of these people who are billionaires, and it's like, yeah, they have an endless amount of money and can do anything they want to, but they will also be held accountable for all of the people that they employ and how they lead them. Whether or not they treat them with respect and they care for them, or whether or not they just use and abuse them, because God will hold us accountable for those things. How do you raise your children to be responsible with an incredible amount of wealth? And one of the things that you see is that many people who have children who have an extreme amount of wealth don't always raise their children well and teach them how to deal with that, because most families lose their wealth. 70% of families lose their wealth by the second generation, and 90% of families lose their wealth by the third generation. By the time grandkids come along, most family fortunes are lost. And so it's a huge responsibility. And many people from the outside looking in wish that they had a sports car, wish that they had a yacht, wish that they had a mansion, wish that they could go on vacations and do all these things. But if you really look at it and you look at how it affects people and their families, a lot of wealthy families experience divorce. A lot of wealthy family, their kids experience a lack of companionship with their parents because their parents are so busy running a company or doing certain things or being in charge of you know, millions of dollars or billions of dollars. And I've talked to many people who are very wealthy, and if they are in Christ, if they believe in Christ and are truly following Christ, most of them do not see their wealth as a blessing, but they see it as a great responsibility because they understand that they'll be held accountable for it. So as we read Proverbs, remember the understanding that these are principles, and that sometimes when we read Scripture, our mind will automatically interpret a passage in a certain way because we have experiences and we have certain contexts and images in our mind. So when we read something, we may automatically interpret, oh, well, God wants to bless me financially. He's talking about silver and gold and all these things. But it's like, yeah, but He's also communicating that wisdom is better than silver or gold. So God has something better for you than silver and gold. He has something better for you than money, better for you than monetary wealth. And if you want silver and gold, let's talk about the whole Bible. Remember that in heaven, gold is basically pavement, and the roads are going to be made of it. So can you imagine us today being like, ooh, I want some asphalt. Like, asphalt's everywhere. We could go grab some. It's basically worthless. Now, if you have to pay to get your driveway paved, then obviously that's expensive. But I mean, for the most part, asphalt's a pretty cheap material. That's why a lot of people use it. And so it's kind of worthless. Well, in heaven, gold is going to be what roads are made of. And so we have to remember that our mindset of the world is going to be very different from what God has for us and what God has for eternity in heaven. And perhaps we need to remind ourselves of that as God wants to bless us in different ways. And so for you reading this today, you have to understand that God wants to bless His followers. He does want to love us and give us gifts of many different kinds. But for you as an individual, God may bless you very differently than someone else. And we just have to be aware of that and accept the gifts that God gives us in faith to know that He's using these things to help us to glorify Him. So one last thing that I do want to draw your attention to before we move on from these few verses is that while we understand that wisdom is writing this, you could also kind of apply this, that is, as if God is personally writing this. I mean, can you imagine if God is just saying, I love everyone who loves me, that I will be found by everyone who searches for me, that I have riches and honor, that I have enduring wealth and justice. I give my gifts and my wages are better than silver and the finest gold, that I am righteousness and justice. And if you love him, you will inherit life and even experience blessings and all of life as well. And not, again, not necessarily monetary blessings, but many, many blessings. And so it's neat to think that when you think about wisdom, you could also kind of apply this as if God is writing this in a way, because it translates. And we're going to talk about this a little more, but verse 22 reminds us pretty quickly that wisdom is the one speaking and that God formed her. So let's read on and see how wisdom and God are connected in verses 22 through 31 together. It says, "The Lord formed me from the beginning. Before he created anything else, I was appointed in ages past. At the very first, before the earth began, I was born before the oceans were created. Before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born. Before he made the earth and fields and the first handfuls of soil, I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas, so they would not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundations, I was the architect at his side. I was the constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created, how I rejoiced with the human family." All right, so I love this passage because it reveals to us that wisdom is a part of the very character of God. She was formed before our account of creation in Scripture. Before you begin reading Genesis, you have to understand that she, wisdom that is, was created even before Genesis 1:1. And that's a little weird to think about. You got to kind of have an abstract algebraic mind a little bit to even conceive that, okay, before creation of this physical world and our understanding that God was and existed before that, but God also had created things even before that, and wisdom was a part of that. And we have in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth, and we have the account of physical creation, but in reality, there was a spiritual creation that took place even before that. Wisdom was a part of that spiritual creation. And when we read about wisdom, desiring wisdom, and seeking wisdom, we're reading about our need for an aspect of spirituality. This is a characteristic of God. So we need to desire her because she is part of who God is. She was before and existed before all that we can see, touch, or experience in any other physical sense. And Solomon lists all of the physical things in this passage that we just read that kind of seem, man, these things are old. It's almost like they're eternal in themselves because they're older than anything else that we can even think of or comprehend. And he lists these things to help us realize that wisdom existed long before them and actually helped form them in the creation. And verse 27 is powerful because even to think that wisdom was created before the heavens, I mean, to know that even before the spiritual place that we also desperately seek to go to, wisdom was there and helped in the creation of heaven. And then again in verse 30 says that she was the architect at God's side and she is a delight to the Lord. For something to be a delight to the Lord is pretty significant. And many times I wonder, you know, when the Lord looks at me, am I a delight to him or am I a disappointment to him? But wisdom is a delight. And she sits in the presence of God and rejoices in his presence. And so for us to seek wisdom is for us to seek the ability to sit in the presence of God and rejoice in his presence and also be a delight to God while we are in his presence. And it says that wisdom was so happy with the world and rejoiced with all of humanity and all that God created. And you know, you think about the wording of Genesis that said, God said, let us create man in our image. And so a lot of people have always said, well, who is us, when God is saying, let us create man? And like you can apply that in several different contexts. I mean, you can talk about the Trinity. You can talk about Jesus, because John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. That's talking about Jesus. And through the Word, all things were created. And so you can talk about Jesus and God doing that. You can talk about the Trinity with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God creating everything. And now you can even kind of couple wisdom in with that. In the beginning, God said, let us do this. That wisdom is included with that. She is with God. She's a characteristic of God. And if we can have wisdom, we can have a wonderful characteristic of God that can also help us have a wonderful relationship with God and become closer in our relationship with Christ. All right, well, let's read verses 32 through 36 and finish up this chapter. And so, my children, listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful. Listen to my instructions and be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. All right, and finally, closing out the chapter, we have this cry to listen once again. Solomon must have some thick-headed young men as sons, because he's constantly begging them to listen. He wants them to be joyful. He wants them to be wise. And we would want that for any of our children, and we would want ourselves to be joyful and to be wise. But we need to understand that this is a daily endeavor to seek out wisdom, much like it's a daily endeavor to seek out the Lord. If we find her, it says that we find life, not only a fulfilled physical life, but even eternal life. But if we miss wisdom, if we miss her, we're only causing harm to ourselves. We are choosing to love death over the Lord. And none of us want that. None of us would do that. None of us would choose death. And so we have to realize this is a big deal. We must choose the Lord. We must choose wisdom. We can't be like Solomon's sons, who are hard-headed and refuse to listen. We have to be humble and willing to listen to the word of the Lord. And I hope that you're willing to do that today. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you again for another wonderful day, for the opportunity to read your word and to be blessed by it. I pray, God, that you would help us to listen, help us to seek out wisdom, help us to seek her with all of our hearts, because in seeking wisdom, we also seek you. And I pray, Lord, that we would find you, that we would find wisdom, and we would grow in our relationship with you and become the men and women you've called us to be. We love you and thank you. Ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, thanks again for tuning in for another week, and thank you for being a part of the Graham Chapel family. As always, tune in for our video services on Facebook, YouTube, and we also have our audios on the podcast app. We love you. We're praying for you, and we hope to see you in person at our services. But if not, have a great week.